Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. A couple of housekeeping things to keep in order. We use the Athanasian Creed, and I know on Reformation Day, it does seem strange that we would confess and hold the Catholic faith. It does seem odd for Reformation. But at the same time, the word Catholic comes from the Latin meaning to be universal or the whole church, not capital C Roman Catholic. So just so you know, we are not confessing today in Reformation to go from being a Lutheran church to a Catholic church. Just so, no worries. That's part of using the Athanasian Creed is seeing that this, along with the Apostles and the Nicene Creed, have been used for centuries as the church has proclaimed its belief and faith in the Trinity and has struggled over the centuries to come up with a way to confess the Trinity in a way that's understandable, meaning that the Trinity essentially is incomprehensible. We can't really understand how God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit all work together in their economy there. So the Athanasian Creed is the most wordy, but also the most complete when it comes to talking about the Trinity and the reality of Christ. So that's housekeeping, why we use the Athanasian Creed and why we're not becoming a Catholic, large Catholic church. There you go. So it is Reformation Day. So we talk about the Reformation. We talk about the principles of the Reformation, what it was that Luther and all of his followers and all of the people that came along the way were trying to reform, as the word reformation suggests, right? It wasn't a revolution. It was a reformation, in a sense, trying to take what had become so complicated and mixed up with worldly ideas and law structure and free it from that and into the gospel that it is. And this was Luther's intent, was to sort of set free the gospels so that it could come to us unencumbered and that we could receive it unencumbered. Right, we didn't have to receive it through all sorts of rules and regulations. I talked about that a couple of weeks ago, rules and regulations and how we all have them. But we come to the gospel, and the gospel comes to us freely and without strings attached, so to speak. So today we talk about the three solas, or maybe the four if you want to extend it that way. The solas are sola scriptura, sola fide, sola Christus, and then sola gratia, by grace alone, faith alone, Jesus alone, and scripture alone. I'm not going to cover all of them in their completeness, as we do want to have lunch at some point today. So, but by grace alone is sort of where we want to start. By grace alone, we are saved. Our salvation, our eternal salvation, our promise of eternal life and a bodily resurrection is secured by grace. And what we mean by that, what does it mean to have our salvation secured by grace? It means it comes to us through Christ as a gift from God. Grace is a gift. And when you give somebody a gift, you don't attach strings to it, because if you attach strings to it, it's not a gift. It's an obligation. And so God gives us this grace, this saving grace, this grace that connects us to the wonderful promises freely as a gift. And he says, here, this grace is yours. It comes to you through Christ. We believe as Lutherans, it comes to us through the word. It comes to our ears, as does faith. And we'll talk about that in a second. But grace comes to us and says to you, you are mine. God says, you are mine. Not because that you have somehow fulfilled this system. Grace comes to you as a gift. And it comes to you and says, this is precious to you, and you are precious to me. Not because of something you have done. not because you have somehow achieved some grand status, not somehow because you have said the right words at some point in time during a particular worship service or something. It comes to you freely. And grace says, this is for you. This is what pulls you out of the depths and the pits that you're in. It pulls you out from being terrified and worried and anxious sinner that you are, and says, you're in, okay, Allstate, you're in good hands. Grace says, you are in God's hands. Again, not because of something you have done or said, not because you have achieved some status or some level of perfection, not because you have merited or won it somehow in a contest, but you're in God's hands. And grace says, no matter what happens, this is where you will be. Jesus promises his disciples, no one can snatch you out of the Father's hands. Now, that doesn't mean we're not surrounded, as we proclaimed in both of the hymns that we've sung, that we're surrounded by all sorts of forces that are going to try and pull you out of God's hands, try and lure you out of God's hands. Now, God promises you are safe and secure. But a lot of times we're a little bit more than curious about those things that pull us, about those things that lure us away. And we're tempted a lot of times to say to God, well, just hang on to that grace for a minute. I'm going to go check this out. I'm going to go, mess around with some things over here. And God says, stay in the hands. Grace is where you're secure. Grace is where you are mine. And it's through that grace alone, as we proclaim, that we are given the next gift, the gift of faith. So we have grace alone, and we have faith alone. Faith comes to us through our ears. It comes to us in the waters of holy baptism. It comes to us in the supper. Faith comes to us as we gather and worship. Faith, if you want to picture it this way, is the catcher's mitt that clings to the pitch that was thrown to it. So grace is the pitch. The catcher's mitt is faith, and it clings to it. It holds it tight. It's not going to drop it. Faith is going to cling to those things that God gives us, those gifts of grace that he gives us, because if we were to use our own hands, we would drop them all the time, and we do. How many times have we confess in our confession that we sin in thought, word, and deed by what we've done and by what we've left undone. That just about covers it. Life, right? Faith doesn't depend on that stuff. Faith is all about what Jesus did for us on the cross. And so faith clings to the promises. The promise of life everlasting that comes to us through grace. The promise of forgiveness that comes to us through grace. The promise of God's presence that comes to us through grace. Faith grabs onto those things and won't let it go. Again, we ourselves, if we were left to our own devices, we would say, well, hang on to that for a second. I'm going to go mess around with some stuff over here. And faith says, well, you can, but I'm not letting go of those promises. Faith says that grace and that forgiveness and that life and that promise of everlasting life is secure in Jesus. It's secure in Christ alone. That's the third. The Christ alone. So we have grace alone and faith alone and Christ alone, that all of those things hold true because of Jesus. Again, not because of us. Because if we were to set up a system where we had to do X, Y, and Z and A, B, and C and all of these things and in order to get grace and faith, and we would be lost forever. How many times just in daily life do we make a list of things we need to do and forget to check that off? Or look at the list at the end of the day and go, well, I got one of them. I got one thing done. I made the bed. That's about all I can expect. Now imagine that multiplied into eternity. How far down the list are you going to get? How far on the list of good versus bad are you going to get? How much does one good thing weigh against one bad thing? See, this is why it's all up to Christ. Right? It's all up to Jesus and what he did for us and what he promises to us. It's all up to him, because if we were left to these systems and these checks and balances and these scales, we would be lost. As we sang already, we would be lost forever. We would be defeated. We would be dead in our trespasses. We would have nothing. But through grace alone and faith alone and Christ alone, we have all of these promises secured for us. And so we can go out there into this world that we are surrounded by foes. We are surrounded by things that try and pull and try and hurt and try and damage. We can go out there knowing that in grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, we are secure. We are secure. We are one in Christ together. We are safe. And yeah, it's going to be hard. Life is hard. I mean, we're talking for the Reformation. That was 500 years ago, give or take some. Imagine how hard life was back then. And then go further back to the time of Jesus, first century. Imagine how hard life was then. Then go back even further throughout history. Life has always been hard, people. We probably got it easier in a lot of ways than any other time in history. We have it pretty easy. Lots of conveniences. But life is hard. There are temptations. There are struggles. There are worries. There are anxieties that surround us all the time. Luther knew this all too well, and he would say that the only thing you can do is go to God in prayer when everything else is closing in, when you are lost, when you are face to face with evil in front of you. You go to prayer because that's all you've got. You can't stand toe to toe with the devil and win on your own. Many have tried. It doesn't work. See, the thing about the devil, and I won't get into a whole long spiel about the devil, but he's been around since the beginning. He knows human beings better than human beings know human beings. So if you think you can stand up against him all on your own and tell Jesus again, like I said last week, Jesus, take a vacation. I'm going to take on the devil. Forget it. Don't do it. It's bad news. You lose every time. But in Christ alone, we have somebody who has defeated Satan. We have somebody who has defeated death. We have somebody who has defeated every enemy that faces us. And in Christ, he has won. And through Christ, by grace alone and faith alone that clings to Jesus alone, he gives us that victory. He gives us the victory over sin and death. Sin and death, the two biggest issues that face all of humanity, no matter who you are, Jesus says, I've won over those. And here's that victory for you. So on this Reformation Day, as we hear about the gifts received and the promises made and kept in Christ, we celebrate. That's why we celebrate the Reformation. We celebrate in red because of the presence of the Holy Spirit and his work in us and through his church. So I'm so glad you all are a sea of red today. And I'm so glad that as a pastor I can say to you, by grace alone, through faith alone, that clings to Christ alone, all of the promises are made sure in Christ for you today. Amen. And now may that grace and that faith in Christ continue to strengthen us each and every day. Amen.